You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of January. The James Harden trade, a great debate, the impact on the Jazz, the NBA, and Harden's legacy. Plus, we'll look at Derek Favors' early impact and Mike Conley's magic this year. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks very much for tuning in. I did do Locked On NBA today with Ben Golliver, so that is up and available. We break down the Kyrie Irving, James Harden trade from a national perspective. We'll look at it from a Jazz perspective here. For those of you that don't like James Harden, I have two quick thoughts for you, and then we'll talk about it more, but these are fun. One, the Jazz do not have to play James Harden in the playoffs. And I guess unless we're in the finals. We'll take that. Number two, James Harden over the next three years will lose $14 million in taxes by going from Texas to New York. Just chew on that for a second. All right. I want to talk about this from a bunch of different angles. So the first one I think is just a really, really interesting basketball debate. Let's assume for a second that the two deals on the table for James Harden for the Houston Rockets were the deal they got, which is basically four draft picks and then four pick swaps from Brooklyn, or Ben Simmons from Philadelphia. And maybe a little something, but, you know, basically. The reason you go and take picks is you want swings at the tree. There aren't a lot. The data is clear, right? From the 11th pick on, about half the players in the NBA actually become rotation players in the first round. And then on the top of the draft, you don't hit. Like, there's for every Anthony Bennett and Michael Okondi, there's an Anthony Davis. And it's usually just kind of how the draft plays out. There's an Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Dante Exum draft that everyone's so excited about that's going to be amazing with Aaron Gordon and Joel Embiid, and only Joel Embiid pans out. So it's a crapshoot. So what you're really doing, what David Griffin in New Orleans, what Sam Presti in Oklahoma City have done, is you just are trying to get as many swings as you can. The more swings you get, the more opportunity you have at actually hitting on one of these players. And then there's the Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert phenomena where you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, where you just hit at crazy times in the draft. But what all these trades are when you do draft picks are just trying to increase your odds, giving you chips that you could trade to, but from a draft standpoint, increasing your odds. Because there's actually no way you can keep all these players inside the salary cap and all pay them at the same time. It's impossible. So you're also drafting, figuring you're going to move some of those pieces for future pieces. It's asset accumulation. The other concept is you go get Ben Simmons. He's like really good. He's all NBA defense. He's all NBA caliber. He's established. He's a former number one pick. He's a star. You probably win with him right away. You don't get, you know, a bunch of picks. I personally, and I'm not, you know, I'm not an NBA general manager. I don't know these things, but I think it's a no-brainer here. I think a two-time All-Star, All-Defensive Team player, All-NBA in 1920, established player. Fine, he doesn't shoot threes. I don't care. He's great. I'm trading for Ben Simmons. I'm getting the established player because even in those four first-round draft picks you're getting, they're Brooklyn's first-round picks, so the first two are probably not going to be very good because they're going to be good. And then maybe one of the next two is in the top part of the top 10 picks, maybe even top 5 picks. But like, what are your chances of getting a Ben Simmons? So it's really in me, you know, and who, it does seem as though Ben Simmons was available. Like every reporter that you trust says that. But that's the debate. Is like the first debate is like, which do you take? Do you take the established piece or do you take like these future chips that you can use at some point in time? To me, if you look at and you analyze the success of draft picks, I don't think they're getting a Ben Simmons out of their first four picks. I think the chances of them getting a player the caliber of Ben Simmons in any of those four picks is really unlikely. Maybe, and then here's part two. If it is likely, it's in years, like 5 years from now. It's not like tomorrow, right? Because Brooklyn's going to be good here for a while, I think. Sure seems like it. So it's a real mystery to me why, if you have the chance to get that 2016 number one pick, you just extend, give him the max contract, and maybe you're going to have to super max him, and then that's going to be really uncomfortable eventually. But that's a 6'10", 240-pound power forward that can play like Magic Johnson without, I mean, so the other one from a Brooklyn standpoint that's really interesting on this, and Kyrie might have forced their hand on this, is the concept of whether you build stars or depth. This is actually why the best thing that could ever happen to the Utah Jazz would be that we eliminated the max contract. Then you couldn't accumulate these three stars. The first thing that a small market team would want to should have done is that you get rid of the max contract. Now, we'd have to pay, you know, well, we'd probably pay Rudy what we paid him. We'd probably have to pay Donovan an awful lot. But if somebody wants to pay Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving $50 million each, then they can't go trade for James Harden. The max contract is what allows this to happen and is incredibly advantageous to the major market teams. But the question that is percolating here is, when you're building a team, are you better off having just being incredibly top-heavy and just funneling in depth, knowing you if you have these stars, you can just go get players? Or are you better off having two stars and having depth? The problem with two stars and having depth is you're one sprained ankle away from having one star. And in the case of Brooklyn, you're one whatever Kyrie Irving is going through right now away from having one star. So from a basketball standpoint, that's the debate. It's pretty interesting. Now, from a Jazz standpoint of things, let's look at it from a Jazz perspective. Houston's likely out of contending playoff. And, like, I don't even know if they make the playoffs. So the West is kind of funky. Like, I mean, really what we've created is you've got to be top six, and then you're playing play-in games, right? Like, that's what the new system is. You've got to be top six. So the top six are the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Suns, the Mavericks. And then I do still think Denver gets up there. Portland's 7-4 to Terry Stotts' credit. I don't know how he does it. So maybe Portland is then in that group of seven. Golden State seems to be hovering around at 6-5. That gets you into your group of eight. Now you got 9-10 for the play-in game. I don't know if Houston makes it. The Pelicans just can't win. They've lost four in a row. Sacramento seems like an unmitigated dumpster fire, and somehow they're 5-7. Oklahoma City and Memphis are just going to continue to pester people and win, and the Spurs are hanging around at 6-5. It's really kind of great. You know, having the 10 teams making the play-in game is pretty great. If I even remember our playoff structure right, for all I know, I have it wrong. But really, you got to be top six. Houston's not top six anymore. They were before. That's the biggest impact on the Jazz. The other impact, that's the good news. The other impact on the Jazz is not good. And I'll get into that in a second. It's the reality of what we're dealing with in the NBA at this point. Today's show is brought to you in part by Grip 6 Belts, Grip 6 Wallets, Grip 6 Socks. But let's talk about Grip 6 Belts, because I really never thought I'd be like a belt advocate. And then I met the crew over there. Now it's Quentin. Had a lot. I've really gotten to know these guys well over at Crip Sticks. They're a Utah company. And the coolest thing about their belt is it does not have any holes. And it does not have a flappy strap that's floating around or any of that. Instead, what Grip Six has is this patented locking system where the belt goes back underneath and it fits perfectly. So the minimalistic, sleek design, but it's also the most comfortable belt ever. No pinching of the gut. For those people who might have a little bit of a gut, have told me that this is like 100 times better than any other belt. The friction locking system makes the belt stay tight all day, and you then also can adjust wherever you want to adjust it, not based on the holes. I love the way they do it too. The buckle and the straps are changeable, so you buy two buckles, you buy two straps, you actually have four belts. It's really cool. Go check it out, grip6.com, grip6.com. We don't have a specific promo code right. We do have a promo code right now. It's called Locked On, and it'll get you 15% off. Sorry, I just literally got it. The promo code is 15% off, and it's Locked On is your promo code at grip6.com. I've told you, I think a few times, I've gotten into meditation, enjoying it. Headspace is got you taken care of for this upcoming year. So I've used meditation two ways. I did a session this morning. I try to do yoga and meditation every morning. Yoga for my body, meditation for my mind. Try to do that each and every morning. And then the one I've started doing a lot more is right before I go to bed, I actually go downstairs in our house and I do a 10 to 15 minute meditation. And what I've found is by quieting my brain at that point in time, and I don't know if you've noticed, but my brain needs quieting, I'm actually able to sleep through the night in a different way than I used to. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advanced in the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you. Overwhelmed, Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation. I usually do kind of 10 minutes. If I'm feeling good, I'll do back-to-back 10-minute different ones. So go check it out. Headspace has got 25 published studies on its benefit. It's got 600,000 five-star reviews and 60 million downloads. Like, it's rolling right now. Check it out. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA. A free one-month trial. I mean, I don't want to be that like crazy advocate freak. You know what? Honestly, I really like it. And every time I do it, I think to myself, like, you know what? Other people should do this. So check it out. Headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial to full library of their meditations for every situation. Josh Lloyd, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, has given a breakdown of the fantasy implications of the trade, so make sure you go to Locked On Fantasy Basketball to get that if you're playing fantasy basketball. All right, here's the not so great part. We really have another star forcing their way out of a team regardless of their contract. We could look at the Rockets and talk about how poorly managed they are, that Tillman Fertitta has, you know, built this for himself, the firing of Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey, some of the decisions they've made. You could, you know, I do think there could be a little bit of social justice going on here, which gets interesting because I think that could be a very large part of the future of where NBA players sign and who they're willing to play for. It's their power. So, but the fact is that here we have is another star player announcing basically, I'm not playing for you anymore. I know I got a contract for 2 or 3 more years, but like, I'm out. I'm done. And it's become impossible to stop. Now, Oklahoma City got a haul without that. New Orleans got a haul in that circumstance, and the Rockets could have gotten Ben Simmons and got a haul in that as well. But from a Jazz standpoint, you know, right now we're blessed that we've got Rudy Gobert, who seems really committed, and we've got Donovan Mitchell, who signed his rookie contract and seems committed. But the minute they're not, the day of the team being able to do something about it seems to be over. So you really have to be able to keep these guys happy to some extent, which I guess means winning, which I guess means continually building your team to win immediately, which makes, you know, if you're going to do a rebuild, you've got to tear it all the way down and do it so you don't have any stars on your team that get upset about it. It's kind of crazy. You know, Oklahoma City's doing it with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. New Orleans is kind of in a weird situation where they just have a ton of talent out of the Anthony Davis trade. And we'll see what Houston does. They have very little left after Oladipo leaves. And Christian Wood is kind of their next piece, but he's not that. So, you know, that's, player empowerment is what we call it. And we can discuss whether it's good or bad. I don't think the system where the players can't move and are stuck everywhere is great. But, you know, this certainly has the pendulum swung pretty far the other way right now. And I think the reality is, as a Jazz fan, like, it's going to happen to us at some point. Hopefully it's not Donovan or Rudy, but it's going to happen to us at some point. Quite simply because it's just where the league is. And so, you know what? It's awfully hard to imagine it any other way. The other one that's really interesting to me about this from a Jazz standpoint is that Brooklyn, the Lakers, and the Clippers have basically punted on ever building through the draft. And what that says to me is they have absolutely no doubt that they will always be able to get players who force their way out of cities to come to their city and to their franchise. And they're probably right. But the fact is that Brooklyn, LA, and the Clippers' entire model now is that they are going to acquire players via trade or free agency from other teams. But they are not acquiring their own talent anymore. They've given up other picks. They've given up, you know, every pick they possibly could give up. And so it also says, to that first point, that there'll always be a market of teams out there ready to take your players. And the fact is, like, who are the title contenders? At this point, the title contenders are Brooklyn, the Lakers, and the Clippers. The two others that are interesting is we should all be Milwaukee Bucks fans. But again, Milwaukee Bucks had to trade away every... Now, here's the crazy one on Milwaukee. Milwaukee had to go trade away every single one of their draft picks to go sign Drew Holiday to go acquire a player because Brooklyn, the Lakers, and Clippers were lurking to take their player, who had some unique reasons with his move from Greece to Milwaukee to be loyal to the Bucks. So that's daunting. The landscape for a Utah to try to build a title contender is super hard right now. It always has been, but I feel like it's harder. We probably should love the Bucks. We all should become really, really big Bucks fans. The next group of title contenders is, frankly, us, Denver, and maybe Boston. Boston's interesting because they've played the free agent game and it's failed on them every time. Kyrie, Gordon, Kemba's knee, and yet it's their massive trade with Brooklyn many years ago that has them with Jason Tatum and a great trade on draft night and Jaylen Brown and has them in the position where they are right now where they are able to possibly be that good. Yeah, remember my opening night pick of Jason Tatum as MVP and everyone laughed at me? Okay, just thought I'd point that out again. The other one on this, just, you know, from a Jazz standpoint of relevancy, is Houston, Oklahoma City, and New Orleans have a ton of picks. I don't know what it really means, but it's almost like they're going to be pulled. Their three Western Conference teams are just going to be doing picks. Lakers and Clippers are just going to be doing stars. The rest of it in the middle are going to do traditional stuff. Few other notes before we jump in and take our recent check on Derek Favors' impact. We'll do this throughout the year. I mean, this was the big offseason move. And then a little bit on Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert evolution. I just think it's really a cool story. and the two of them working together, and also why probably as fans we need a little more patience with our players and trying to put things together, and also why continuity might have some value, right? As we talk about all these team building things, and we're looking at all these things, and we're wondering, like, how is it that they're going to win, or how do we compete with it? The way we compete with it is probably doing exactly what we've done, which is keeping our pieces together and trying to solidify things. So we'll take a look at that and show that depth here in a second. Plus, we'll check in on favors a little bit. One little COVID note on the Mavericks I have for you as well. One final note on Harden. Oh, by the way, the Cavaliers used the Jordan Clarkson trade exception to get this deal done, to get Jared Allen. So good for them. They end up trading, you know, Jordan Clarkson for Dante Exum seems like a steal, and except for that now they've turned that into Jared Allen. That's really well done. Kobe Altman, their GM, Middlebury grad. Well done. One other note. I just think it's important on Harden. I know everyone's trashing him, and you can do this and say this about him. Who are the two people that have spent the most time with James Harden? Three people that spent the most time with James Harden in his career, probably. Mike D'Antoni, head coach of Houston, Daryl Morey, GM Houston, Kevin Durant, teammate in Oklahoma City, right? Maybe PJ Tucker. The three people that have spent the most time with James Harden are the three people that wanted him. Daryl Morey was willing to trade for him in Philadelphia. Mike D'Antoni's an assistant in Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant wanted this deal done. For all the thrashing of James Harden, says something that the people who've spent the most time with him have to go to battle with him, want him on their team. Have you been to Locked On Bets? You should have, because it's a lot of fun. Great show. Your boy Q, along with Lee Sterling, bringing you some of the best lines of the day and all the kind of best stuff you need to talk about what's going on in the league. And it's all brought to you and giving you three or four picks of the day, and they've been on fire. So that's good. Check it out, Locked On Bets. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. Here's what betonline.ag said about the trade. Brooklyn now has the second best odds to win the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn had the second best odds prior to the trade. Now the Nets have less than half the Bucks odds. So to win the Atlantic, the Nets went from plus 125 to minus 150. And I believe that is if you bet 100, you get 125. If you bet 150, you get 100 now. In the Eastern Conference, if you bet 100 and Brooklyn won, you used to get 275. Now you only get 135. For the championship, if you bet Brooklyn at, it used to be you bet Brooklyn at 650. It's now at 275. So you used to bet 100 to win 650 on Brooklyn. You now bet 100 and you only win 275. That's all from betonline.ag. Excuse me. If you want to get involved at betonline.ag, 50% bonus for you. Welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Go to betonline.ag. You got the football games this weekend, NBA futures, Major League Baseball futures, NHL's underway. So visit our good friends, exclusive partner at betonline_AG on Twitter or other social networks to find the best deals. And also go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up and get your 50% welcome bonus. Today's show is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto is the place for you, whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer, to jump aboard and be a part of the auto fixing world at the best prices. If you go to a brick-and-mortar store, you walk in, and there's different tiers for pricing for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. The selection's only what their shelves can hold, and frankly, you end up spending sometimes 30, sometimes 50, even 100% more at chain stores and new dealerships. So, like, you can get a fuel pump for a Honda Odyssey at a big chain store for $350. At Rock Auto, it's $216. I mean, seriously, that's like crazy difference. $350 to $216 if you go to rockauto.com for a fuel pump for a Honda Odyssey. Like, that's the difference here. And it's always the same selection, amazingly low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's a great website because it's old school. It is old school, easy to navigate there for you. Quickly see the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. It's all there at rockauto.com. Reliably low prices, same as professionals as do-it-yourselfers. And when you check out at rockauto.com, please, please, please write "Locked On" and "How'd you hear about us" so that they know who sent you. I mentioned it earlier, Locked On NBA today. I did it with my good friend Ben Golliver, and that's available for you at Locked On NBA. All right, let's take our kind of periodic check on the impact of Derek Favors on the Utah Jazz. This was the big offseason move, and I just think like we can see it. Let's just keep checking on it and see how much better we're getting. I think it will give us a good indicator of kind of who we are and what we're doing. Let me review it from last year, if you recall. Last year, when Rudy Gobert was off the floor, we were in the 16th percentile defensively, okay? So when Rudy Gobert was off the floor last year, we've also added the Favors Gobert, which played together. We were in the 16th percentile, and we were minus 6.2 in our plus minus. Let's look at us this year. 2021, Rudy Gobert off the floor. Instead of minus 6.2, we're plus 5.8. Our defense, interestingly, is not a great deal better. We're in the 28th percentile defensively. But our offense is amazing with Derek Favors on the floor. We're in the 92nd percentile with a 119.8. We're turning it over a lot, but we're shooting it great. And our offensive rebounding percentage is 33%. That's probably not sustainable. Defensively with Favors, we are not forcing any turnovers, and we're fouling a lot, but we're doing, and that's why our defense isn't very good. We're doing a great job on the defensive glass. So with Rudy Gobert off the floor, instead of a minus 6.2 a year ago, we're now a plus 5.8. We're doing it mostly offensively, not defensively, but it's still a pretty interesting little twist and turn to how much better we've become. All right, final one today is the evolution of Mike Conley. So Mike Conley, I just kind of feel like, honestly, some of this is like my own guilt. I just feel like we had such expectations on Mike Conley last year with such lack of understanding of what we were asking him to do. So last year, Mike Conley, few things for you. Because of injuries, he ran 18% of our pick and rolls. We were 0.98 points per pick and roll with Mike Conley last year. He ran 51% of his pick and rolls with Gobert. He was actually way better with Tony Bradley than he was with Rudy Gobert. We switched to this season. And Rudy Gobert is figuring out Mike Conley, and Mike Conley is figuring out Rudy Gobert. Instead of running 18% of our pick and rolls, Mike Conley, being healthy, has run 33% of our pick and rolls. Instead of running 51% of his pick and rolls with Rudy Gobert, he's now up to 58% of his pick and rolls with Rudy Gobert. And instead of 0.98 points, we're at 1.06 points per possession. That's an astronomical jump. 0.98 to 1.06. Last year, Mike Conley was 0.98 overall. This year, he hasn't figured out Favors yet, interestingly enough, right? Like, they've never played together. And Mike Conley and Derek Favors are not kind of not clicking in yet. But Conley and Gobert, with a year of work together, have now figured this out and become much more efficient, well put together. Rudy's patiently waiting, setting double picks. Conley's patiently waiting for Rudy to finish his role. Last year, Mike was throwing up that floater all the time while Rudy was still a step or two behind him in a position where he couldn't get the ball. So this is a pretty neat little thing to watch. The other one that actually we can get into, and I'll dig into this a little bit for you tomorrow, that's pretty interesting is Mike Conley's assists to three-point shooters are up. And, you know, who he's being able to find and how he's able to get into the paint and then kick out to shooters in a way that he wasn't before. It's a nice addition to his game. We'll dig into that tomorrow. That is Locked On Jazz. We have the off day again today, and then tomorrow we get ready for Atlanta, who's super fun and playing great, pending all COVID protocols taken care of. This is Locked On Jazz, Locked On Bets. So much to you today. Locked On Bets, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NBA, frankly, Locked On Rockets, and Locked On Nets. Have a super day. Talk to you soon.